Hello and welcome to the New Moon Tarot reading for October 2020. Apologies for the different format that this is in, but because of circumstances preventing me from recording video this month, I thought that I would just do a slight experiment and bring this out on audio only. And then if it's workable, I will be bringing out all future editions of the reading on both video on YouTube and audio on a podcasting site, which then may actually just help if you would prefer to listen to audio only. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to not show the cards alongside this this audio immediately, but I'm going to give links to each of the cards so that you can almost walk along with me in real time, as it were, and see the cards as they appear in the reading, rather than racing on ahead to have a look at the cards or seeing them immediately as you open the page. And then that, I think, can sometimes interfere with the immediacy of a reading. It can sometimes rather encourage us to race ahead rather than, and it's almost like reading a book and then going to the final couple of paragraphs and missing out on the richness of what ensued and not actually really understanding the final interpretation with as full a picture as possible, which then can distort the interpretation. So what I would encourage you to do, therefore, is just to click on each link as I turn over the cards, because I also haven't. I've got the cards face down here in front of me. And then we can just go through this reading together. It also makes you a slightly more active participant in the reading. And that's something that I really like to encourage as much as possible, is to have your active participation in the reading itself, so that in some way you have some kind of, not necessarily control, but that you're not just simply a passive recipient to information, but rather are with me along on the journey through the unknown, looking at the signposts and finding out as best as we can what it is that could be going on. It's going to be, as always, a three-card reading. And the second card, which I, because I've got them all face down in front of me, the second card kind of presented itself before I'd finished shuffling. So that's the theme card for this month. And so before we get to that, I'd just like to put a slight underline under that as being the key, as something there that we need to pay attention to more than anything. It's an emphasis. As always, then the three cards are the foundation, the theme, and the agency card. And the first one, of course, being the foundation. And that is going to be the card that describes a circumstance, a particular quality that has already happened, is in the process of happening, but has is going to tinge the rest of the reading and therefore the month and then the weeks to follow, weeks and months to follow, with its own particular flavour. So in other words, this isn't something that's going to happen, it's already happened, and it plays a key part in how the theme unfolds. It is in some way an alchemical process between the foundation and the theme that then creates the overall mix of experiences, both inner and outer, that you're going to be going through the following weeks. And really, a tarot reading has no end. It may have a sort of crescendo and then a kind of dying away in terms of the immediacy of the impact, but everything that happens stays with you. So it's good to think of not each reading as a sort of having a cutoff point after every 4 weeks, but rather just simply adding to this tapestry that we are building up as we go and move through the year and into the next one and then the following ones. So the first card, the foundation card, I'm going to turn over now. And it's a card that's come up before, and it is the Two of Discs, which is change. Because we're dealing with a format that isn't visual, I will be interacting with the cards and the writing on the cards much more. And obviously now, you know, you'll be able to see the card in detail if you click on the corresponding link. But one of the words that that comes up, the keywords here, is transformation. And there is change, and then the idea of yin and yang. I'm seeing there any other harmony as well. I would say that the idea of harmony is something that one strives for rather than one automatically gets given in terms of this card. So this is, again, this is something that has already happened or is happening, something that you're going to be familiar with. But the idea of harmony is something that I feel is up to you. In other words, this is, because it's discs, it's physical circumstances. In other words, it's happening in this world. It's something that you can interact with. It'll be material change or change to circumstances, change to the way that you live your life, whether that's in a practical sense or in, as I said, a material sense. But it's and it may well also have an impact on your emotions, i.e. cups, and your thoughts, i.e. swords, and your energy levels and your creativity, i.e. wands, because all of those precede the discs in the tarot. But primarily what you're looking at here is something that's happened in terms of change in the world. And it could be in your own inner world, in your personal world, and it's also could be in the world at large. Nearly always it's all three. So the thing about going back to the idea of harmony comes as a result of being able to deal with the balancing act that change demands. So if we go to the idea of yin and yang, it is the acceptance that for everything there is an opposite, and therefore you can either work with it always in tension, always bouncing between one and the other, which can be a very frenetic kind of energy, a very sort of almost bipolar energy of not being able to work with that, the pulling of opposites. So you can work in that freneticism, or you can work in a sense of kind of despair as well if you try and unite the opposites by mixing them so that they in some way sort of combine and in an easy way, and that is also in a way it's trying to ease the ambivalence of sitting with two opposites. And the suggestion here with change is to work very much like, if you go to the Rider-Waite-Smith version of this card, it is a juggler. And the juggler is wearing a dervish's hat. So the whirling dervish in Sufism is being able to find that still point in very, very rapid movement. So by going through the rapid movement, it is finding that still point within. And this is the paradox. And that, as you know, if you are a regular listener or viewer of the of my readings, paradox is a word that comes up very often. But this is the innate paradox of the change card of the Two of Discs, is being able to hold the energy of both opposites and not veer either from one to the other or live in hope of reconciling them, but you being the agent of being able to hold the tension of those. So Jung very often talks about the tension of opposites, and through the tension of opposites is created something called the transcendent function. And the transcendent function is this third way. It is this third, almost, I would say, magical or mystical way that opens up when you neither choose one side nor you try and bring them together in a way that makes them an amorphous sort of mass. So it is a delicate balancing act, and this is something that you've been going through. So if in this recent past you have felt a sense of turmoil, felt a sense of not having enough resources to go around, because that's also about the Two of Discs. It's almost having to, that feeling of, borrowing from Peter to pay Paul. It's that idea of really having to juggle a whole lot of things. And it might not necessarily even be two things, but rather the sense of finite resources that then need to be allocated in a very careful way. And that could be to do with your own physical body. That's certainly been my experience over the last few months. Or it could be to do with material resources, i.e. money, or it could be to do with time, or it could be to do with commitments. But it's something or some things that are happening in this everyday world. It could also be to do with ideas, but how those ideas take shape, how they impact your life, because again, this is discs. So ideas, swords, discs, the impact of those ideas. So, and also the thing that comes up in my mind as well is that it is an election year for quite a few countries, and one in particular that is making the news. And there you've got the Two of Discs as well. So I think that there is this idea again of it's you can't choose both. You can't choose in with the discs. You can't choose both at the same time. It's one or the other, and then that act of discernment that comes in with that, that with the yin, there is a small bit of yang in the yin, and with the yang, there is a small bit of yin in the yang, and nothing can be divided into black and white completely. And in fact, that's the basis of split thinking. That's the basis of a lot of what I see going on in the world is that split thinking, the idea that something is either all good or all bad. And there are no exceptions to that. And that is the challenge of being able to understand that with all its nuance, and not to be and not to lose that in some kind of convenient way of explaining things away to make us feel comfortable about our circumstances. So change has been the key, and the key is something you are bringing in now as the foundation to unlock the current weather, which is the theme card that I'm going to turn over now. And this theme card is the one that, as I said, sort of stood out in terms of when I was shuffling. It was a card that, it was the single card that was left behind on the table when I was shuffling the deck. So I think that this one's going to be quite important, so I'm going to turn that over now. My goodness, another card that we have seen before, which is the Queen of Wands. So the Queen of Wands, again, that energy of the Queen of Wands that is, it's, well, let me just take a step back. Let's talk about court cards. I've got a little bit sort of gung-ho about court cards, because, and I keep forgetting that for a lot of people, and me included when I first started out with tarot, court cards can be very difficult to get to grips with. Frequently, well, it's one of the most frequently asked questions is how do I interpret court cards? When on the tarot forums that I belong to and in questions that have been given to me. And I think it's worth actually going into this a little bit, because it is one way of explaining something else that you are going to be dealing with in a certain respect. Because I think one of the reasons why the court cards are really quite difficult to get to grips with is not a practical sort of intellectual exercise. It's not because it's our minds or our intellects that can't get around it, but because the court cards confront us with ourselves. The court cards are the personality types. They are the personal archetypes. So in other words, they're not the grand soul-based archetypes, but they are the archetypes of humans, of what it is to be human. And very often they are difficult to see simply because the psyche or the mediating ego, that unconscious part of the ego, prevents us from seeing aspects of ourselves as a sort of very often a protective device that has very often outlived its usefulness. It was there to protect us from something somewhere in the past, and it continues to do that, but to our detriment. So it's sometimes very difficult to get to grips with the court card, because it is difficult to get to grips with that aspect of the specific court card that we are facing in ourselves. So the Queen of Wands, then, to get to the specific court card, the Queen is the individuated feminine of fire. So the individuated masculine is the King. The King and Queen are a partnership. They are, again, if we go back to the idea of yin and yang with change, they are the yin and yang of the wand suit. the feminine principle, the yin principle, is the principle of, and this is a bit of a, again, a contradiction in terms, active receptivity. So it isn't the go out, go getting, but it is the sort of diffuse awareness and the ability to apply one's own creative fire in a way that responds very actively to one's environment. It is taking a pinch of this here, it's taking a little bit of that there, it is mixing it in the cauldron of creativity and creating something. The Queen of Wands also has an extra edge because wands are a masculine suit. So the Queen of Wands is much more of an active agent in this creative process, but she is still very much attuned, in other words, receptive to everything around her, and then she creates magic from that. She is fiery, she is creative, she is self-confident, she is opinionated, she is magical in as much as she takes aspects of her environment and makes things out of them. So she brings something out of apparently nothing because she sees everything, if you see what I mean. And this is the ideal of the Queen of Wands. She is not a shrinking violet in her own life. She is direct and she is assertive and she works with that idea of fire. So in other words, you come close to her and then, you know, be careful because you might get burnt. She is leonine in her aspect, you know, she is, so it's all of the fire signs in terms of that. And but she is because she's the queen, she is the watery aspect of that. So she is very much also in touch with her feelings. She works intuitively, in other words, but she works intuitively in an active way. So whereas the Queen of Cups is pure intuition, she is water of water, very much a Piscean kind of aspect to ourselves. The Queen of Wands is water of fire. So she takes that intuitive nature and works with it, again, actively. I'm going to see if there's any writing on the card that suggests something. And here we go. It says change again. So you've got another card with change on it. Self-knowledge. And the Queen herself is looking directly at us with her finger perched on her chin. And very, very masculine kind of face. And yet, you know, there is this breast in the picture, very beautifully made up. And she has this key on her headdress. There is the idea here of being able to unlock something inside the situation by using the resources that you have at hand. So the Queen of Wands doesn't have to go out and find resources. All the resources lie within her. There's something here about if you feel like you're stuck in a certain situation, the Queen of Wands as the theme is to be able to magic up what it is that is already available to you in order to enact change and in order to move with change, in order to accommodate change and to harness change as well. So it's not simply a passive process. There may be a certain amount of passivity that has to happen at the beginning while you're finding your feet. It's not, you know, sometimes we can't just, when change happens, we can't hit the ground running. We have to acclimatize to the change and then act. But everything that you need is at your fingertips. And I would suggest that everything that you need is your creative sense of enterprise that is backed by your emotional maturity and your emotional based intuition. And if you are listening to this and thinking, well, how the hell do I get in touch with that? Because you're talking about something that feels alien to me. Then that is the reason why we struggle with the court cards. It is about acknowledging that aspect of us that lies in the shadow, the unexplored, unexpressed parts of us that are asking for expression because they have lain in the shadow for too long. And this is this idea of the shadow being something that we need to look at if we can. Because as soon as we look at it, it no longer is the shadow. Because if we aren't willing and able to acknowledge even the possibility that something is in the shadow, and I think that's the first step. The first step actually is to say that the shadow exists. And if you don't believe the shadow exists, well, then this is probably not the reading for you. But the first step is to acknowledge the shadow exists, and then to be open to the possibility that you can then explore what lies in the shadow and bring the light of awareness to it, that fire of awareness to it. And the reason why this is so important, the reason why Jung believed that this was a critical aspect of the work that we do to bring those aspects of us to life, or to light, well, actually both, really, is that if we do not do that, and if we deny those aspects of ourselves, or if we say that they're not possible, which is just another, it's a different side of the same coin, then it doesn't mean that they disappear. Then they don't go. They run our lives and us in the background when we are unaware of it, and they come out in unexpected and very often destructive ways, whether that's self-destructive or destructive to those around us. And again, I would encourage you to look out inquiringly at the world now and ask yourself how much of what is going on that is disconcerting, that is making you angry, that is making you unsettled, is as a result of the denial of aspects of ourselves. You know, the person who says, I love peace, and that's all I want, and I'm a very peaceful person, will necessarily, in order to bring back balance, you know, that idea of change, need to contend with the warlike aspect of them, the murderous side of them. You know, the person who says that they don't have a creative bone in their body has the opportunity to contend with the emergence of the Queen of Wands. And when the Queen of Wands is accommodated, even the possibility of her is accommodated. So if you can't feel like you can access the Queen of Wands, what you can possibly do is access the possibility of her being there. In other words, remain open to the fact that she might be there instead of closing the door on her. Because if you can't, then she comes out sideways. And the Queen of Wands is not somebody that you would want to come out and hijack a situation. That is the, you know, that is the outcast witch. That is the that's the old lady in the gingerbread house with Hansel and Gretel, the one who is sequestered away that nobody wants to speak to, and therefore puts her incredible creative capabilities into building this trap for children. It's the idea of rage getting the better of us, of our creativity being put to the use of our that is instrumental in the downfall of ourselves or somebody else. It is, you know, it is the smothering mother archetype, because the Queen of Wands is the fire, brings things to life. You know, it's the acts of arson that we undergo or undertake in our lives, the self-destruction or the destruction of others. So, and from a sort of mothering sense of it, and it doesn't matter what sex you are, this is an aspect. So if you're a man and you are listening to this and going, well, this isn't relevant, then also be open to the possibility that the Queen of Wands is sitting there in the shadow waiting for you to acknowledge her. And what I'd invite you to do is to look at the card and see what it is that piques your curiosity about the Queen of Wands, and find out what it is that she is trying to tell you about yourself. And if you already know, then that's great. Then you know what to harness around you. That energy is available to you, because this is the current theme, this fiery feminine creativity, that sort of witchy woo kind of creativity that's there. That's available to you to use in order to work with that change that is the foundational card as well. So these two work very beautifully together. And then therefore I would say that in terms of the theme and the overall theme of the next month, it is change. There is change, there is a fieriness to it, there is a sense of that fire being able to either be there to heal, to give warmth, to give life to something, and also to burn and to destroy. And therefore there is that mindfulness and that capacity that you have to be able to hold the two extremes, those two things, the healing and the harming, the potential to create and the potential to destroy, to hold those two things and not resolve either way. Because when you resolve and go towards one side completely, the other side will have its out in one way or another. It will be expressed, and that expression will very often be beyond your conscious awareness or control. So to hold those two possibilities and to be able to work receptively and actively. I'm not saying by holding the possibilities that you are then doing nothing. That's not it at all. This again is a balancing act. It's to know when to act and to know when to stay still. I think that that's part of it. The stillness is as important as the action, because a lot happens in stillness. And I can vouch for that at the moment when life outwardly has ground to a halt in my own life, for example. Not ground to a halt, but it's definitely being curtailed. And my own sense of having to look after my body is very much having to limit how I move out and about in the world. But the inner richness of what happens is really key here. It's that idea that that is happening. And in fact, sometimes you have to slow down in order to have that happen. Because sometimes, for example, with me, the body's reaction against circumstances is really the body's way of saying, pay attention, listen inwardly. This is not about going out and doing. This is about fiery receptivity and action that is very carefully calibrated to one's circumstances and that is intuitively based. That's really what the action is. Because the intuition is one of the ways that we create that transcendent principle in that balancing act between two opposites. Our intuition is instrumental here. And if we work with our intuition and we know it well, then that's going to serve us well. And if we are still trying to get in touch with our intuition, these are the ideal circumstances in which to do that. I know that this is quite a sort of behind the scenes reading, really. I can't really even explain it. But because we're dealing with the Queen of Wands and an aspect of personality or an aspect of oneself, how one is in the world, very, very much it has its beginnings, its origins are coming from inside. So this is really about inner processes, and each one of us is going to experience that differently, but the overall theme is the same. It's what unites us. And the tool card, as if we don't have enough of that already, enough instructions, but the tool card as to how to navigate these waters in a way that is able to bring you agency in this, able to bring you some sense of being able to grapple with your surroundings, even being able to deal with yourself in a way. And that is the Eight of Swords, which is interference in this deck. The Eight of Swords, interestingly, is mimics, because it doesn't mirror, I would say mimics, it's a sort of overblown parody of the Queen of Wands. So the Queen of Wands is a very dignified figure, you know, there facing with her ermine trim along her top, and then her breast is parodied by these two very, well, naked, sort of very showy females with their hair hiding their faces. It is a parody in as much as the tool here is, I think, to pay attention to when you are parodying the Queen of Wands. You are not being the Queen of Wands. Let me try and unpack that a little bit more. there is a self-consciousness in the Eight of Swords that is where, and the Eight of Swords in the Rider-Waite-Smith deck is really about being trapped by the mind. And I think here it's when the mind tricks us that we are being the Queen of Wands when we aren't. Intuition is not mind-based. It's coming from under the mind, if you see what I mean. It's coming from a different place. It's then filtered through our feelings and our thoughts. But very often our thoughts will distort our intuition. And our thoughts will very, very quickly cover over our intuition and start telling us different stories. And I think that that's the idea of the Eight of Swords here, is that idea of being ground to a halt. There's this small figure in the foreground in the Eight of Swords who is confused because there seem to be two conflicting messages. And here we go again, the two polar opposites, the idea of change and that idea of swinging between two extremes. And perhaps the lesson here in the Eight of Swords is perhaps to do what this figure is doing momentarily, and that is to sit down and just not make a decision yet. And the reason why it's not worth making a decision right now is because if you look at the card, there are two women and there are two sons and there are two parts. But in truth, there is only one source. There is only one sun. So this idea of there being two things that you are up against is actually a fallacy. It's an illusion. It's a delusion. There is a false path here, and it's neither of those paths. The path is actually the one that you create by holding the line. Hold the line. Hold the line of the Queen of Wands. She is not going to dignify with any kind of response, any attempts to pretend to be her. She is going to, you run the risk of raising her anger by throwing out these false queens, of not being truthfully yourself, that idea of the false self, the idea of the thoughts that where you think yourself into something or you think yourself into nothing or you think yourself into a standstill. And actually the truth lies beyond that, behind that, underneath that. It is that sort of fiery, fiery glow of one's inner knowing. So be careful of false idols. Be careful of the things that confuse you. And if you do feel confused, take a moment to sit down and rest, but not stay there for too long, because the sitting down and resting is the thing that can also bring you to a standstill. It is, again, that very, very fine line of keeping movement. So even if you're sitting down and resting, there is some sense of rhythm and motion that is still going on in the background. There is some sense of the flames of knowing sort of licking at your ankles, reminding you that there is something underneath all of this illusion that is real, that is true. If something feels really, really easy, really easy, if it feels facile, then that's probably not it. Because normally the path of truth is simple, but it isn't easy, if you see what I mean. So again, it's about going back to the Queen of Wands in the center. She is there to teach you something. Something about what you are, something about what you don't know that you are, and something about how you harness your inner knowing in order to enact some sense of participation in your own life, in your inner life, in the life of those around you, in your world. Some sense of discernment that is beyond words, that beyond feelings, but that reside in that deep core self that is attached to what Jung would refer to as the self with a capital S. And nothing less than that will do. And I think that there's something here that's incredibly uncompromising. And that's the good news and the bad news about the Queen of Wands. She is absolutely uncompromising. She demands the highest standards of you, and she demands the highest standards of the people around her. And she will not compromise when there are these false ideas of what one should be or what one thinks is the right thing to do or the right thing to be, or that sort of magpie mentality of going to the thing that glitters the most, when actually it's plastic, you know, it's paste, it's not the real thing. She won't tolerate that at all. And I think that one of the ways that you are going to be able to discern that is in your body, because there's that idea of the two of discs again. It is a very, very physical card. That change may be going on in the world outside you, but your body, as connected to the physical world, will be a barometer of what's going on. And your body houses your soul, and your body houses the Queen of Wands. And your body will know what is true and what is not true. So this is about discerning the truth and discerning what isn't true, and then following the path that is true, with the possibility that it is neither of the options that you are weighing up. I hope that serves you well this month. And if you have any questions, please do send them to me, sarah@integratedtarot.com. And otherwise, I will see you hopefully on YouTube next month, as well as on podcast. And in the meantime, take very good care of yourselves. Goodbye.